Muslim fella down at the, what's it called, the Polaris mall. I was walking through there, and I had a shirt that Sister Janie had got me years ago. And it looked like the Nike shirt, only instead of the swoosh, it was a big nail, and it said, Jesus did it. And he saw me coming, and he misread it. And he said, or he didn't read the first word, he says, "Who? What are you? That's funny. It says, just do it, but yours says, did it." And I turned around and I said, yeah, it says, Jesus did it. And I explained to him what it meant, which was the gospel. So this Muslim dude, standing in the middle of the aisle in one of those, what? Kiosks. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's Greek or what, but... and he's standing out there. He is the one who brought it on. Why? Because of the T-shirt I had on.
Amen.
If I had not had that T-shirt, he wasn't going to whistle at me. You know what I mean? I'm just giving you that as an example. Anyway, that's what Jairus is doing here by asking. Jairus is demonstrating his faith. How? By asking. There came a man named Jairus. And what did he ask? He besought him that he would come into his house. He couldn't just live it. He spoke. That's the point. James 4:2 says, "Yet ye have not because ye ask not."
Amen.
So verse 42 continues and says, "For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying." It's a terrible situation, but notice those people around him seem oblivious. And that's how normally you'll go through really bad times in your life.
Yeah.
The people around you seem totally oblivious to your hurt and what you're suffering. But also, you know, some of your friends, they'll just abandon you. You'll find yourself very alone at times.
Mm-hmm.
I just tell you this, if you haven't already gone through it, don't be surprised if that happens. There's many people in this room can testify to the fact that's what will happen.
Yeah.
And that's what Jairus, what's he do though? What you and I should do in those times, we reach out to Jesus.
Amen.
Reach out to Jesus. And that's what Jairus does here. Now, we're going to put Jairus on hold in our study until next time. Keep in mind though, this all kind of happens within probably an hour or two or something like that. No long amount of time. But verse 42 ends by saying, "But as he went, the people thronged him." So Jesus, with all these oblivious people, and he's being thronged. Well, I can see that happening. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus comes in here. You going to go to the basement? I guarantee you not. It'll be even worse than when Ezra's here. Ezra shows up and he's like, "Oh, you know." Well, what if Jesus showed up? It would be even more of a throng. But do you ever feel squeezed out? I would like to say that, you know, what I ask of you is to understand I'm not Jesus. I'm just Pastor Greg. I'm a human being. And if you need me and you call on my phone and you don't get an answer, leave a message and tell me why you need me.
Amen.
And if it's important, I will make that effort to get in contact with you. But there are days, especially Sunday and Wednesday, I constantly remind people of that, but I get more messages on Sundays and Wednesdays, especially Wednesdays. And it's days where I'm kind of booked. We've got a Bible study going on here tonight. I'm getting things ready and I'm doing this and that. So if it's not an emergency, I usually don't pick up the phone or call anybody on a Wednesday. But if there's been a few times where something big happened, I definitely do call. And that's the way we should be one to another. We should be open. Someone calls, but you also need to be considerate. And call and leave a message and explain why you need the call. Cryptic messages don't work. And it can be any phone call, email, or whatever. But also always remember, what? That means that you don't say what you mean. But
be like saying, "Hi, Pastor, I need something. Bye."
Yeah, don't do that to me.
Okay.
And don't send me a text message and say, "Hey." And as soon as I said that, Charmaine sent me one. About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I love her, but she needs spanked. But by her husband.
Wow.
Like McClintock, John Wayne. Anyway, stop while I'm behind. But do you ever feel squeezed out of here? Just treat us like human beings and make sure that we know you need us. And if you do, we'll be there for you. But I might be out of town. I might be somewhere where my phone doesn't work. Develop that relationship with Jesus Christ and you'll never fully feel left out. If you have a good, solid relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll never feel totally left out. So the focus will change here in verse 43, but only momentarily. And like I said, we'll come back to that next time. But verse 43 says, "And a woman having an issue of blood, how long?
12 years.
See, isn't that something? The same number of years Jairus' daughter has been alive. 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, dead, needing Jesus, dying, and 12 years, this woman, the whole lifetime of Jairus' daughter, this woman has had this issue of blood. There's also a possibility, it's just something that numbers mean things in the Scripture, and the number 12 is the number of Israel. And there's something here about this. You got a Gentile with a daughter, 12 years old, and this woman who we believe is a Jew, 12 years with this, and that number 12 fitting in there. Just keep that in the back of your mind. The Lord might show you something.
Amen.
Just make sure it's biblical. Amen. So 43 then ends saying, which had spent all her living upon physicians. How many of you thought that issues with health care began with Obama? Health care has always been a problem. Always been an issue. Go back into the ancient tribes, their witches and voodoo witch doctors and all that, they were the most respected and desired people in those tribes. Why? Because people get sick. People have issues. So they needed somebody to go to. It's healthcare has always been an issue, and it was always expensive. It's always been expensive. And that's, as you read your Bible, it's very real, just like today. What is everybody concerned with? Healing.
Yeah.
The billions being spent on pills.
Amen.
And then you have billions being spent on alternative care. It's always been like that. And here's this lady for 12 years had this issue of blood. But look, it never says she was wrong to go to the physicians. We're not one of those healing cults that believes it's a sin to get doctoral care. But we've kind of been a reactionary against the extremes where people don't even think for themselves and their doctor throws pills at them. They just take them and you know, don't do any self-education and make any judgments on it. That's just as dumb.
Amen.
Your doctor is human, and over 100,000 people every year die taking drugs according to the directions.
Yeah.
Every year, more than 100,000 people die following their doctor's orders.
Yeah.
More than 100,000 people die in hospitals due to mistakes. Get that chart. And if your loved one can't do it, you do it for them.
Amen.
It's not a sin to go to the doctors, but it's a sin to just blindly trust any man.
Amen.
And then the other thing is, well, I think I put the... Jesus said this, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." He's saying the sick need a physician.
Amen.
He's not... Never does Jesus denounce physicians helping people. We believe Luke was a physician, and it never says he resigned. He was a Jew, not a Gentile, by the way.
Amen.
However, going to the doctor without praying is a sin and demonstrates a lack of faith. You need help. You need something. You ask for prayer and you pray. And you pray, one of the things you pray for is wisdom while you're attending that appointment, going to the doctor.
Didn't in the Old Testament, King Asa
thought to the physicians and not to the Lord.
Amen. That's great. Go back and read about King Asa. He was a great king and then came down to the end of his life, and instead of first praying, and in his day he had prophets to go to and he didn't, he just went to the physician. It's a sin. And God let him die as a result.
That's in 2 Chronicles 16:12.
2 Chronicles 16, read the whole chapter. Emphasized. So we just want you to understand that, because there's a lot of these fake healers and cults that are costing people their lives with this false teaching. But this lady is out of options, and now she seeks out Jesus. Sometimes that's where we have to come.
Amen.
We have to come to the point where we're out of options. We're at the end of our rope.
Yep.
It's a shame, but I've been there, I've done that. Verse 44 says, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. When Jesus heals, that's what happens.
Amen.
Just like we've preached over and over, when you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
When Jesus saves you, you're saved.
Amen.
If you're going to a religion to be saved, you'll never be saved. You'll never feel saved. Amen?
Amen.
But when Jesus saves you, you're not on probation. You're saved. When Jesus heals you, you don't have to go to rehab. You don't have to, you know, go back for healing follow-up care and additional annual healings or anything like that.
Amen.
And there's no seed faith offering.
Amen.
Find in there where he sent Benny Hinn any money.
That's right.
Where did this woman send money off to a fake healer? Didn't. No seed faith offering in the Bible. That's pure heretical hogwash. These men, as Peter said, make merchandise of you.
Yeah. Right.
If Jesus, and by the way, it doesn't say that Jesus will heal everyone. But when Jesus heals, he doesn't charge a fee, and it's immediate.
Amen.
No delay. So verse 45 then says, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? It's kind of like Peter saying, come on, man. I had to do that. As I was reading that, I was like, man. Remember, this is before Peter received the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So verse 46 then says, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Now, virtue would be divine power. But there's a lot of ink spent on trying to explain this. It just is what it is.
Amen.
When this lady, with faith, touched the hem of his garment, virtue was received and she was healed. I can tell you on the authority of God's word that if you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, at that moment,
amen,
you receive the Spirit of God in you.
Amen.
You take on the divine nature in you.
Amen.
You are a son of God.
Amen.
And your name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And at no point does the Bible say that's something that comes and goes.
Amen. Amen.
Virtue has gone out of me, and she is immediately healed permanently. There's no record of her ever being sick with this again. But you know what? She did die. She's not out there in Jerusalem still walking around. Or up there by Galilee where we're at here. Yeah, Lazarus. Jesus raised Lazarus, but he ended up dying at some point. Why do I say that? Because these cults always say that if you only had enough faith, you'd never get sick. And you don't have to die. I'm pretty sure Oral Roberts once said that. And guess where he's at?
Yeah.
6 feet under.
Yep.
Every one of these fake healers die. There's one, Mora Sorella, recently died. I'm trying to think of all the ones recently. Of course, Catherine Coleman and some of the bigger names through history. What did they do? They got sick and died. Who?
Mary Baker Eddy.
Well, she's at, in a cult. Yeah. Yeah, but she claimed to have the keys to health and all that, and she's dead. Amen. And these New Agers who all teach us have all of them. So verse 47, it says, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him." That happened to me. I don't know. I hope it happened to everybody in this room. There came a day when I realized I was not hid. And it's funny, as you read through Psalms, it says that the evil say, "God doth not see." Mm-hmm. He sees. The important thing is you wake up to the reality.
Amen.
You realize you're a sinner. You have sinned against the holy God. You need to be saved or you will go to a place called hell.
Amen.
People say, "I just don't believe in a hell with real fire." Fine. Go out somewhere in the middle of nowhere on the hottest time of the year in complete seclusion from everybody and just sit there for a few weeks. Because hell is going to be you separated from God. You are going to thirst, as the rich man will see in chapter 16.
Yep.
And you have to totally not believe Jesus when he says that there is going to be like a furnace of fire.
Yep.
You have to disbelieve Jesus when he says, "Their worm dieth not." No death. Eternal hell. I came, that's what happened to me. I realized I was not hid. God was aware of my sin. I knew I had a death penalty. I was, as they say, dead man walking. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get saved until you know that.
Amen.
So Jesus called her out for her sake and ours to hear her confession. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately.
Amen.
You know, sometimes things happen in our lives and it's not necessarily that God caused it to happen, but what he'll do is he'll take that situation. Remember, the Bible says he works all things together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. He'll take your trial, your situation, and he'll bring you kind of out into focus for some people to hear your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's death of a spouse, divorce, or whatever it is, there's times where I've seen it and I've experienced it where God will put you in a situation where there's somebody there that needs to hear your testimony. Now, don't go around saying, "Yes, I believe God caused this to happen so that he could use me." That's not what God does. God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of sin. But he will take that situation and he will then put you somewhere where you can be used of God. And that's what he's doing here with this lady. So what's he say? Well, first of all, that's where genuine faith begins. Begins with confession. Go over to Romans real quick. We're about to finish it up. We're in the last verse, but I want to look at a couple places. Romans 10:9, very familiar to those of you who are taught the Romans road of salvation. Romans 10:9-10 explains why confession is where faith begins as far as your evidence of faith, your outward display of faith. Romans 10:9-10, read that with me. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." See, there, if it's in here in the heart, it's going to come out. You may not be, you know, as vocal as the guy next to you or the gal next to you, but there's going to be opportunities and you take advantage of those opportunities to confess your faith in the gospel. And if you won't confess Jesus before men, Jesus says he will return the favor before the Father. Read it, Matthew 10. For some of you might not believe that's in the Bible. Matthew 10:28. I'll read while you're turning there. In verse 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell."
Amen.
"Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Read 32 and 33 with me. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, again, Scripture with Scripture. He's not saying you earn heaven by confessing Him, but He's making it clear that if you're for real, you will confess Him. You can say, "I'm a Christian," all you want among Christians. What do you do when you're not in the house and out in the real world before men? You confessing Jesus? Or you're afraid, as I said, you fear those who can kill the body but not the soul in hell. That's what it comes down to. So back to our text in Luke 8, finishing up there in verse 48. "He said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." It wasn't her faith in her faith. It was her faith in Jesus.
Amen.
See, the word faith cult will tell you, if you have enough faith, that's not what the Bible says. If you have faith in the right person, then if it's His will, He will heal. Now, others had touched Jesus, but only this woman of faith was made whole. Did you notice that? He was thronged about, and that's what Peter was pointing out. Come on, man. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." You see that? "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him."
Amen.
Again, we talked about in Sunday school, don't get the cart before the horse. Faith produces works. Works apart from faith is meaningless.
Amen.
But faith without works is hogwash.
Amen.
It's a lie. Real faith produces. Just want to sum it up by saying it's about Jesus and it's about trust in His gospel. At this point, the Bible is a progressive revelation. At this point, this woman didn't know about the death, burial, and resurrection. But she knew that Jesus was fulfilling the prophecies that God had given to show you who the Messiah is. And she recognized Jesus as her Messiah. And see, if Israel were to recognize Jesus as her Messiah, they would have been given the kingdom. But they reject their Messiah and for 2,000 years have paid the price. But there's coming a day when King Jesus will sit on a throne and rule the world from Jerusalem over Israel and the other nations. That is why He's called King of
Kings
and Lord of
Kings.
Because He will rule over all the kings of the earth.
Amen.
From Jerusalem and Israel. And that's what they had missed. And that's why you and I are here.
Amen.
As we talked about in our Sunday school, the branches that were grafted in.
There's light for us, look at them. send your prayer request to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And Drake, before you turn that off, we're going to sing Happy Birthday.
To those November birthdays.
Jenny Albalding today.
Yes!
Anybody else born in November? Oh, Jill's in November too.
Yeah. What
day?
12.
Anybody else?
Oh, yeah. Hi there, dude.
Yeah, all right.
No, you'll be
All right.
Huh?
Who else?
You were born in November? I didn't know that.
Did you see me?
Yeah.
What day?
17.
Oh, that's right.
Your mom. Your mom's online.
Oh, Mom, are you on there?
We love you, Norma.
Wait a minute. What day were you born?
17.
Isn't that the same as Norma?
Yeah.
My mommy?
Good birthday.
The good day to be born. And I'll just say this, the best 15 years of my life began on November
19th.
Aww. I married Jenny.
Yay.
Thank you. Not to say all the names. What do you
say?
Just say
Jenny.
No. You friend.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear friend.
All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.